Welcome to Safe Harbor Network. I'm Todd.
Hi, and I'm George. We're here forming Safe Harbor Network. It's kind of our initial launch here on the podcast. The reason that we have formed Safe Harbor Network is because we have both gone through a pretty extreme amount of trauma in our lives.
That's right.
And we know that there's a lot of people out there that have experienced massive trauma. And some of you find yourself in places where it's just a desolate, you almost feel like you've been forgotten and left behind, beat up by life, beat up by very unfortunate circumstances with different possible organizations or places you've been. So we're here to be a place where you can relate to us because we can understand. And as you get to know our stories, you'll begin to realize that we've got some trauma of our own where we can identify with you. So we hope that you can find Safe Harbor Network as a place to get well and heal, a place where there's no agenda and no need to feel like you need to perform or do anything.
Right. Yeah, you hear songs at Christmas time like it's a most wonderful time of the year, and you think, is it really? What's your favorite Christmas movie, George?
Well, you know, there's a lot of them, but the one that kind of stands out the most is It's a Wonderful Life with George Bailey. And some people nowadays think it's corny, but if you think about George Bailey's life, he was full of dreams, just like you and I were. And those dreams were crushed. He went through life thinking his life didn't matter. He was really just pummeled through the circumstances of life. And then Clarence the Angel comes. Of course, he's on the bridge. George Bailey goes to the bridge thinking about jumping off. I can relate to that. I mean, I was in that similar place at one time. And then Clarence helps him realize that he really does have a purpose. But the challenge is getting from where George Bailey was to realizing his life did have a purpose after all, even after all the trauma.
That's right. George, your life's had its own George Bailey moments for sure. I've been there for many of them, where your dreams and your hopes and your plans were dashed or circumstances felt overwhelming. Can you share one or two of those experiences with us?
Sure. Well, I'm going to fast forward to the pinnacle of some of my traumatic life experiences, because most of the folks out there need to know that there was 20 to 30 years leading up to this moment of very unfortunate traumatic experiences that you'll all need to learn about. But we go kind of to the end of the culmination in Thanksgiving of 2019. After all of my horrible experiences, I found myself in a desolate place. I was so bad that I was separated. I just turned into a monster of who I was. And I had an apartment by myself. I was living alone. And my life was just coming apart. And it was Thanksgiving 2019 where I had that George Bailey moment of where he was standing on the bridge while I was in such a bad place. I was seriously contemplating ending it all right there. And it was a very, very bad place. And then my oldest son got married in December of 2019. And me, once a preacher and belting it out, traveling the world and just seeing the Lord move in just many miraculous ways, I found myself hovering in a corner at my son's reception, afraid to talk to anybody. I mean, I just didn't even want anybody to come up to me and say a word. So from there, I was still separated. I went through 2020, and little did I know, I was feeling worse and worse. I thought it was all just depression and despair, and it was, but as 2020 unfolded, I was at an appointment for my business in late October of 2020, and I fainted and fell over in one of my customers' residences. And so I got myself home. I didn't know what else to do. I called my oldest son, Jonathan, to get me to the doctor. I had become so weak over that year that I could barely get up out of bed. I could barely move. I could barely walk. And so he came over, and I was so weak when he was trying to take me to the doctor. He had to literally pick me up and put me in the truck. So we go to the doctor. They thought I had COVID. This is in early November 2020 now. And I had a fever of 104. They sent me directly to the emergency room. My son was the only one with me. Again, he had to carry me in, and it was I was bad. And little did I know, as they rushed me back, I found that it seemed like every doctor in the hospital was hovering around me. It turns out that I had a very, very bad case of sepsis, and I went unconscious. When I woke up, the doctors had told me they lost me, literally, that the line went straight, you know, on the monitor there a couple of times, and that I shouldn't have made it, so I was going into septic shock. So I was barely alive. My hemoglobin was 5.5. I was barely able to stay conscious. And they discovered at that time the reason that I had gotten sepsis is because I had cancer. I had the kind of cancer that it's called multiple myeloma, and it's a cancer of the bone marrow. And so I had no immunity. And so I was in very, very bad shape. And, you know, when I woke up from being unconscious, my wife, Laurie, had showed up. And she's the first one I saw. So you talk about like a clearance moment. I literally feel like, in a way, she was like an angel, because there's no way she should have been there. I was just incredibly horrific to her through the whole year. And I came home. I told her I was afraid to go back to my apartment because I didn't know if I was going to wake up the next day or not. So I went back to our house. She started taking care of me, even though we were still basically separated. So I got about 3 weeks trying to recover, and I got sepsis again. I had to be rushed to the hospital. So she took me to the hospital. This is now about the 1st of December of 2020. So I'm in the hospital for the second time for sepsis. They can't treat me for the cancer because I'm so weak. I mean, if they started treating me for cancer when I was in that condition, I would have died. So they continued to try to get me better from the sepsis. And my hospital stay was about 9 days. So December 9, 2020, I was supposed to come home. And it's funny because today is December the 8th. And so it would have been 4 years ago tomorrow. Okay. That I was supposed to come home from the hospital. And Laura was supposed to pick me up and bring me back, but she was very late and I didn't know why. And so she finally showed up, and when she did, I knew something was wrong. And she had the unenviable task of telling me that our oldest son, Jonathan, the same son that had to carry me in the hospital, she had to tell me that he had died unexpectedly and tragically. So I was in a state of beyond despair. I think of David when he said, "My heart has gone down to Sheol," and that's really what I felt. I felt like I wanted to die. I mean, and this is the accumulation of all of the other trauma that had taken place in my life up to that point, and I just wanted to be gone. And we came home. We had to bury our son tomorrow, December 9, 4 years ago. And the first night we were home, there was a lady and a husband who came over and brought us a meal. And she was a very quiet woman, very, very, very intuitive. And she said, "George, God's not done with you yet." Well, at the time, I wanted to get out of, I couldn't get out of my chair, but if I could have, I wanted to choke her.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, you were there.
Yes, I was there. I remember that moment.
Yeah. And we asked you to come down and do the funeral.
Right.
And, but I thought how incredibly insensitive that was at the time. Well, we buried Jonathan. I was back in the hospital again on Christmas Eve with sepsis again, third time. I was in the hospital through Christmas and New Year's. I came home in January, and wound up in the hospital for a fourth time. So during that season, I didn't want to be here.
Right.
And so Christmas for me, you know, when you talk about the movie, Is It a Wonderful Life? At least George Bailey got to a point where he had dreams that were crushed. But like some of the folks out there listening right now, mm-hmm. That's almost like child's play. Compared to some of the trauma people have gone through. And we just don't know what people have gone through. So Christmas time for me is not necessarily always a wonderful time of year, because this is the time of year my son died.
Yep.
This is the time of year I almost died. And I find that people need to be able to relate to someone else that can understand. So Christmas time is a very unique and different time for a lot of people.
Right. You know, it's as a clinical mental health counselor, for me, the things I've studied about trauma and neuroscience and counseling, it is so important to be able to process something like this with a friend. I mean, that's 4 years ago, but it feels like it was yesterday. And when trauma like that occurs, so much at the time is a blur of shock and just trying to breathe. And I remember talking to Laurie, talking to you on the phone, and just barely hearing what was coming out, and getting in the car and coming down from Maryland down here to Florida. And your story about losing your son in December of 2020 is incredibly moving. Anybody listening to this podcast might identify with how, especially at the holidays, it amplifies feelings of both joy and pain existing in the same space. And that's just such an irony. Let's pivot for a moment to the role of angels and resilience. You know, you at the height of desperation, we could all use a Clarence the Angel. And you mentioned that there was a woman, a friend who, mm-hmm. who she and her husband brought over a meal. It's lovely. In trauma, everybody still needs to be reminded to eat. And she told you, God's not done with you yet. And, yeah. and you didn't want to hear it, but looking back, how did that simple act of kindness impact you?
Well, I thought she lost her mind. I thought she was insensitive.
Right.
I thought she was, what are you doing? Tell me.
Right.
You know, I just lost my son and I almost died multiple times on top of all the other 30 years of trauma that we had walked through. And it was like, this isn't real. You know, I'm not here. I was so weak and so distraught. Mm-hmm. People wonder what it's like to lose a child.
Yeah.
And nobody can understand that. And maybe there's a few people listening today who have and can understand. But, you know, I think when God calls us to something, we might let it go. Mm-hmm. We might try to stiff arm and just maybe even become bitter and angry at God. I think I was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I was. I don't have anything to do with God. He took my son.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I don't know if he took it, but he allowed it to happen. Mm-hmm. He allowed me to get cancer that it didn't look like I was going to live.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady comes along and says, God's not done with you yet. I'm
right.
like,
right.
You must be out of your mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I continued to try to get better through 2021. What she had said to me stayed with me for a while, and I gradually started getting better from cancer. Now, multiple myeloma is the kind of cancer that you can never be cured unless God heals you. So I still have cancer. I mean, I will always have cancer. So I get better during 2021, and I go on a trip to the mountains by myself. Mm. I'm sitting at a campfire that I made next to a mountain stream. And I'm looking into the fire, and it was as if Elijah in the cave, you know, he wanted to just end it right then and there. Mm-hmm. And the angel of the Lord comes by, and Elijah finally hears the voice of the Lord through the still, quiet voice. He didn't hear it in the thunder and the lightning. He didn't hear it in the strong winds. And I'm looking into this fire in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord says to me, just like I'm talking to you right now, I'm not done with you yet. Mm-hmm. And so that was really the beginning of forming the vision that I believe the Holy Spirit was just dumping in Safe Harbor Network. Mm-hmm. Because then I began to realize, maybe it was almost like scales fell off my eyes. I was blind.
Right.
And scales fell off my eyes, realizing the thousands and thousands and thousands of people out there, people that I know, that I used to know, and the group of churches I used to be a part of, just desolate. Pastors, families, people, wonderful people, just gone and just not cared for and feeling like their life is over. And so, you know, then the Lord began to kind of lift me up inside. I don't want to come across as some kind of, you know, I'm a great Christian guy, because I was the worst man alive, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. The way I treated my wife, and the way I had fallen away, and but this is just one thing, you know. Even though you're going through the trauma that you are,
right?
Even though you don't feel it, God will never let you go.
That's right, and. You know, for anybody listening who's gone through a traumatic experience, probably the last thing you want to hear is words about God and the church and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And we are two men who have gone through it. We'll get into those stories in future podcasts, but we have remained friends and we've known each other for over 30 years. We're getting old together.
Yeah.
And we're not done yet. I think just recapping the trauma, realizing that religious trauma is a thing, and not only a thing, it has affected millions and millions of people all around the world. Your specific trauma, your Clarence coming, this woman saying God's not done with you yet, that being the last thing you wanted to hear. I mean, you had been, if we recap, you had been through four hospitalizations, you know, you separated in your marriage, and you just lost your son. And somebody comes up with that. For listeners who might feel like they're at the end of their rope this holiday season, what would you say to encourage them to keep going?
Well, you may not have had a Clarence moment yet. And it, sometimes it takes other people to help you see that you will, just like that wonderful woman, sweet woman came and told me at the time. So I would say that, you know, another important thing, Todd, is I was in a place when she said that, I was in such bad spiritual shape.
Right.
You know, it just wasn't trauma of losing my son and being sick. I was spiritually sick and almost dead. I didn't want anything to do with God. After everything that happened even prior to that, this is like the pinnacle, but everything that happened prior, I don't want to go into a church. I don't want to be involved with Christianity. I still consider myself a Christian, but I had defense mechanisms that were up that I wasn't going to be hurt again.
Right.
And so there's a lot of people out there that I would say, I understand. I get where you're at. Yeah. And I would also say that, you know, there's going to be a place for you where you can say, okay, I can begin to heal. I can begin to get better. It's not over yet.
Right.
And even though it seems like it's over, even in your own mind, it's not over. And maybe God's not done with you yet. Mm-hmm. Just like that woman said to me, I think we can say to people out there, God hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
And his gifts and calling are irrevocable. Mm-hmm. It says that in the Bible. So whatever God has called you to, all the dreams you've had that have been crushed, I'm wondering now, I'm going to be 66 years old in April. And all the dreams I had in vision of ministry when I was in my early 20s, I'm wondering now if in my last few years, however long I have, if all of that is going to come as an onslaught and actually be fulfilled as a result of the Lord allowing me to go through all this trauma. Who would have ordered this up? Nobody wants this to happen. Nobody thinks this is necessary in order to get to a place where God can use you, but here I am. And I think what I want to tell people out there is, regardless of whether you think it's over or not, you're still valuable to God.
That's right.
You're still valuable to us.
Yeah.
And we want to walk this life with you, and we want to walk this trauma with you so that you can get better. And that's all we care about. We don't have an agenda. We don't want you to do anything with us or for us. We just want you to get better and realize that, you know, maybe life isn't quite over yet.
Yeah. And, you know, we can get into the weeds really quick. When you start talking about your trauma and you relive that, we have to acknowledge some hard truths. I mean, it's a Debbie Downer, basically, at holiday time. You've got kids, grandkids coming over. You got presents wrapped under the tree, and you're thinking, I am still grieving. And it is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year. But why is it important to have these conversations, especially now?
Yeah. Well, it's the thing is, it's okay to grieve.
It is.
During Christmas time. We're human, and a lot of people want to try to encourage us to put on this plastic, superficial front. That Andy Williams song, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year."
Right.
Well, I still love Christmas.
Yeah.
I really do. But the reality is, Christmas brings the memories of trauma.
Right.
And there's going to be a hole in my heart that will never be filled.
Right.
And some of the folks out there feel the same way, whether they've lost someone, whether they're sick, whether they've been divorced, whether they've been abused, whether they've been spiritually abused
in
a church situation, whether they've been just whatever their circumstances are. It's okay to relate to your own trauma and still grieve, even now. It may be 20 years later. Grieving is okay. It's a part of the healing process. And you know more about that. I mean, you can wax eloquent about the process.
What happens when you get
into that traumatic time? You go into shock, and a little process. You got to go through it.
Right. I had a friend once that said, wax elephant. He preferred to say wax the elephant because it takes a long time to deal with an elephant. And that's what trauma is like. It's like sitting on your chest and you have to go through it. And this podcast is not about offering quick fixes and pat answers. And we just decided part of what we're doing with Safe Harbor Network is we decided we don't want to become two crotchety old men who just drowned in their grief. But, we are honoring our grief and our struggles without feeling pressured to move on during the holidays and acknowledging those hard truths. We have to find hope. So in the end of It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey's running through the streets, Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls. You know, there's these bells ringing. You know, in that movie, if we can take ourselves and put us in there, that's a symbol of redemption and joy.
Yeah. And I think as we come to the sort of end of this podcast, it's okay to have grief and joy in the same season. And George Bailey running through Bedford Falls, yelling Merry Christmas.
That's right.
We can still have a Merry Christmas and yet still honor what you said. That was a great way to put it. Honor your grief. Because, a lot of people just want to, well-meaning Christian folks or whoever, well-meaning people in your family, whoever they are, want you to just, you just need to trust God. You just need to have faith. You can't pet that grief forever. Well, have you ever lost a child? You know, have you ever walked where I've walked before? And a lot of you can fill in the blank because you've got a different story than Todd and I do.
Right.
Have you ever walked in my shoes? And so it is a process.
That's right.
And for me, it's going to be a lifetime process.
Right.
To move through it. And so the point is, life's not over yet.
That's right.
Even though you don't feel it.
That's right. That's true, George. Thank you for being willing to walk through this together today. I mean, part of being together is healing. yeah. for us. And we've been friends, like I said, for over 30 years from now. It's hard to believe. You revealed your age coming up in April. In January, I will be 55 years old. You know, we have plenty of additional trauma to discuss. And, yep. But being kind to yourself means taking one step at a time, one day at a time, and walking through it with a friend. And we'd like to be the listening ear, the friend for any of you that that need to be heard. George, as we, you know, close this, what's your hope for any listener as they hear this podcast and try to move through the holiday season?
My hope for everybody out there is that you begin to realize that your grief and trauma are okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay with us. You don't have to put on any kind of performance.
That's right. It's okay to not be okay.
It's okay to not be okay. That's a good way to put it. It's okay to not be okay. And I think if you can get to that point where you can just accept yourself, you know?
Right.
Accept yourself in areas where it doesn't matter how far you think you've fallen from where you once were. And boy, did I fall. Man, here's one thing that I think is very important for people to understand, not only during Christmas time, but whenever. I had to deal with a lot of guilt from where I had fallen from. I mean, I was,
right.
I was, you know, pastor. I was a leader among churches. I was traveling the world in my early 20s in ministry. And, you know, when you fall how far I did, and some of you can relate, the tremendous overwhelming condemnation and guilt you feel makes you feel like there's no way you could ever do anything for God again. You don't have the right. You don't. People would laugh at you and ask you, what are you doing? You don't have any business being in front of people and talking. You gotta wrestle with that. And realize that if God can use a murderer in Paul, if God can use a murderer in David and do some of the most mighty exploits for him, just look at some of the people he's used. If you feel so guilty and you feel like God doesn't view you the same way, that's just something that you're believing yourself, because if Jesus is death on the cross was sufficient, you had the same standing before God that you had when you think your glory days were.
That's right.
And so your guilt you can bring to God. He's not going to judge you. He's not going to cast you out. Look at yourself like the prodigal, whatever you need to do. But the biggest thing that people, I hope, take away from this is it's not over yet.
That's right.
It's just not over yet.
That's excellent.
And it's okay. That's where you are right now is okay. You can still get to a place where God can use you.
That's excellent. Well, until next time, Christmas is here, and so are we. Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls. As our conversations grow and our podcast evolves, we want you to know that there is hope and peace in the middle of your storms. There is a safe harbor where you can heal. Take care, everyone.
Have a good one. Merry Christmas.